because she her power went out like literally minutes ago. Isn't that fun? It's all part of this fun 2020 that we're having. It's crazy. So she anticipates joining. And what I would suggest is perhaps let's get started with the things that we need to do, like attendance and that kind of thing, and then hope that she joins in the next couple of minutes. So, Andrea, do you want to go ahead and proceed with that?
Certainly, I plan on just reading those members and elected officials and guests that are not WFRC. And if I miss you, please know that I will record your name for the minutes. Okay, let's see. We have Norm Searle, Shule Bishop, Becca Rolfe, I believe, Mark Allen, Russell Weeks, Amy Winder Newton, Andrea Olson, Ben Hewitt, see, Beth Holbrook, David Williamson, Evan Curtis, Joy Petro, Justin Smart, Kevin Van Tassel, Len Arvey, Jenny Reese, Reed Ewing, Robert Dandoy, Russ Fox, Ryan Perry, Steve Call, Tina Cannon. I'm assuming Ari Bruning. And I am sure I missed some of you, but thank you all for joining. And I will, like I said, get you noted in the meeting minutes. Thanks, Ted. And there's Mayor Ramsey.
I am here. Thank you all for your patience. I don't know if they told you what my delay is. So I just heard back from Rocky Mountain Power. There are only about 100 people being affected by power outages. And so, I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'm trying to sit in my window so it's not totally dark. And they think it'll be after 2:30 at least before they have the power back on. So I'm trying to get this to work with a hotspot and with no, anyway. I'm happy to be here, and thank you all for being here and for your patience while I tried to connect. This was unanticipated, to say the least.
Mayor, thanks so much for joining. And just to let you know, in case you missed it, that we did go through the list of attendees. And I just want to pause for a second. Are there other members of the committee that did not have your name read and you'd like to let us know that you're here? Okay, well, again, I'll just join with a welcome to everybody. And Mayor, that's where we're at. And if you'd like to jump into your the agenda, that's great.
Great. Thank you for getting started and taking care of that. And again, welcome. Thank you all for being here. We're going to start with item number one. We have an action item. We need to approve the minutes from the Regional Growth Committee meeting held August 20th, 2020. If there's somebody who's had the chance to really go through those and feels comfortable with those minutes, I'm prepared to accept a motion unless anyone has any amendments they'd like to make.
Here, I'll
Move to
make a
approve.
To approve.
All right, we have a motion by Tina Cannon. Is there a second?
I will second.
Is that Beth? With a
Yes,
second?
good morning.
Thank you. All right, any additional discussion to these minutes? Bear with me because I'm going to pan back and forth between a couple pages. So if you have anything you ever want to say, I might not see you. Please give me a wave. Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from the Regional Growth Committee meeting held August 20th, 2020, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. All right, we are to the public comment portion of our meeting. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to address the committee? Anything you'd like to share? If so, you can please give me a wave or let us know in the chat that you want to say something. I'm not seeing anyone. Ted, do you see anyone? Andrea, anyone? Okay. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public comment portion of the meeting and move to item three, which is the chair report. I just want to give just a quick little recap from the Utah League of Cities and Towns and Wasatch Choice Conference that we had. I know a number of you were able to attend last week our virtual conference, and appreciate everyone who participated in some way in that conference. Really, considering it had to be done the way it had to be done, I think it went really well. And so congratulations to everyone who took part in that. During the conference, the Wasatch Choice plan was highlighted throughout, really. And just to recap, just a reminder that this is a plan that we've all put together, this plan for how we grow and what transportation infrastructure can and should look like with wise planning on each of our parts and as a collective whole, thinking really beyond our own city borders or our own county borders and looking at the whole region. The Wasatch Choice really is a plan that we each have the chance to have a say in, and it's a living document. It's something that can be altered should the need arise, but it's an excellent planning tool, and I appreciate that we had the chance to really try to highlight that. We discussed issues that are facing all of us due to COVID-19, as we have as an organization for a while this whole year, and provided ideas and resources for having community level growth conversations. So I'm wondering if anybody has any feedback, anything that they would like to share that they experienced last week, or any thoughts about this before I move on. I am not seeing anyone.
Okay, this is Mayor Joy Petro. Hi. Just to add to the comment here.
Thank you. Obviously
I have a new council, and this was their first time to attend. So they had nothing to compare it against, but they were all, they were impressed with how things ran and the flow and the opportunities. So I think you guys need to know that they thought you did a great job on it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that feedback. I appreciate it. You know, we made the decision 2 years ago to move this conference to the Salt Palace. And this was the first year at Salt Palace, and it was going to be great. It was going to accommodate everyone really well. And it took a lot of modification, obviously. So thank you for that feedback. It's a great opportunity for the league to partner with WFRC in really working together on the issues that we can work together on for the greater good. Anyone else have anything? I'm just scrolling back and forth. Okay.
Mayor Ramsey, this is Andrew.
Hi.
Just briefly, it was great being able to partner with the league. And of course, we also work in close collaboration with UAC, the Association of Counties, and have been coordinating with them on, you know, helping the counties and the cities work with the transportation agencies to respond to the twin challenges we face of growth and COVID recovery. And so it's just terrific for all of us to be able to come together and work in partnership on these such important issues that we're facing as a community and state right now. So thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. And I know UAC had their conference last week as well. And I've heard that it went well. Are there any county commissioners that would like to comment on how that went for all of you?
I can comment. I did the agenda, so I thought it was awesome. No. I didn't do the whole agenda. That would be taking credit for more than what I did. But I thought we had a really good discussion on several issues that are coming forward, a lot of land use that will affect cities as well. Planning issues that'll continue to move forward, and funding issues coming out of the pandemic. It was a really good conference, a good discussion was had. Got a lot out of it.
That's great. So glad to hear that. Thank you. You know, we all represent the same people, right? We all represent the same people with our different hats. So the opportunity to collaborate and work together brings about the best results, I think, for the people that we represent. So thank you. Thanks for that. Okay. Well, because we had such a great conference last week, and because our agenda is shorter than usual, I anticipate we will finish much sooner than usual. We're going to show you the video that we showed last week. I'm going to ask staff if you'll show the new Wasatch Choice video. There were some comments added to the video by Mayor Silvestrini and myself about the Wasatch Choice plan, and Andrew shared some thoughts. Anyway, since we have time today, grab some popcorn or pour a Diet Coke or whatever and sit back and relax for a minute and enjoy the video that was shared last week at the conference.
It's now my pleasure to introduce Andrew Gruber, Executive Director of Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Thanks, Mr. President, and hello, everyone. I hope that you've been enjoying this terrific virtual conference. As I mentioned yesterday morning, we're facing twin challenges in Utah right now, the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's leading growth. The pandemic has changed how we get around, how and where we work, and how we go to school, how we shop, and how we gather in our communities. And while our attention is rightly focused on pressing health, economic, and other issues related to the pandemic, growth pressures are still with us. The pandemic has brought serious negative consequences, but it also presents an opportunity, even a necessity, to think differently about how we do things in the face of growth. Each of you, as local community leaders, have real, meaningful decisions to make now that will shape your communities and your economies and quality of life for generations to come. Decisions related to housing and transportation, land use, community and economic development. The good news is that in the face of growth, Utahns have always looked ahead, made a plan, and worked together to create the future we want to have. This has been called our secret sauce of collaboration and caring for our community. And that's what's needed now for the twin challenges of recovery and growth. And I'm happy to say that together we have a plan, the Wasatch Choice Vision for Growth and Development, a shared vision for our future. The vision and its accompanying strategies can be a consistent reference point as we think about how we accomplish our tandem interests of economic recovery and continued quality of life in the face of growth. These strategies are to provide transportation choices, support housing options, preserve open space, and to link economic development with transportation and housing decisions. The Wasatch Choice was created with broad input and buy-in prior to the pandemic, and it's more relevant now than ever. Now, we have a diverse mix of communities in Utah, and we know there's no one-size-fits-all approach for protecting and enhancing our quality of life, but the vision and its strategies serve as a roadmap to a bright future as each community works to develop the approaches that best suit your needs. Hopefully, you've already participated in sessions where the Wasatch Choice vision has been discussed. And I hope you've already started thinking about how the ideas and strategies might apply in your communities. Now, we're going to show you a short introductory video about the Wasatch Choice vision. And after that, you'll hear from two Utah mayors who'll tell you their stories for how they're planning for the future, engaging their communities, and ensuring high quality of life for generations to come. Thank you.
Utah is growing, and we have a plan. Our future quality of life depends on the choices we make today. The Wasatch Choice Vision is our community's shared vision for transportation investments, development patterns, and economic opportunities. While we're currently dealing with health, economic, and other issues related to COVID-19, Utah is still the fastest growing state in the nation, and our rapid growth challenges haven't gone away. In this time of uncertainty, the short-term changes we're considering may affect our long-term community outcomes. The Wasatch Choice Vision was created with broad community input and buy-in. It represents a shared vision for our future. Its four key strategies can help us find solutions as we plan for economic recovery and continued quality of life in the face of a pandemic. The pandemic has shown that more people want to walk and bike in our communities. Wasatch Choice has our shared plan for investment in active transportation, as well as roadways and public transportation. As our economy continues its recovery, it'll be even more important to keep a diverse set of housing options available across the Wasatch Front for people with varying preferences, at different life stages, and with different income levels. The pandemic has demonstrated the need for more outdoor recreation areas, not just in the mountains or large sites, but also parks and trails closer to home. Utah's economic strength has always depended on how easily workers can access job opportunities. Wasatch Choice helps employees get to more destinations easily by envisioning job centers and workforce housing closer to major road and transit opportunities. Where growth occurs matters. While there's no one-size-fits-all approach, as communities grow and work together to implement the Wasatch Choice vision, we'll see many benefits: stronger communities, improved transportation, enhanced environment, more housing choices, fiscal responsibility, and a strong economy. The Wasatch Choice vision serves as a guidepost as we work together to consider solutions to the long-term effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Growth is still coming, and communities along the Wasatch Front have a plan, the Wasatch Choice vision, to maintain and enhance quality of life in the face of growth. Learn more about the Wasatch Choice vision and participate in your community's conversation about how to address today's challenges and create a brighter tomorrow.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Silvestrini. I'm the mayor of Mill Creek, Utah. On the map behind me, Mill Creek is in red, and the purple down at the bottom is South Jordan. You'll be hearing from Mayor Ramsey in a moment. Mill Creek is an older community. It was settled as the first settlement outside of Utah Fort in 1848, but it wasn't incorporated until 2016. It's a community full of great neighborhoods. We have the Olympus Cove neighborhood on the east side of our city, and we go all the way to the Jordan River, where the west side of our city is more manufacturing and light industrial. Our city developed really without any planning, and as a result, we're full of corridors with strip centers on them. There was really no center, really no downtown. That became apparent to us as we began to engage with our community in a general planning process shortly after we incorporated. Our residents said, where is the Mill Creek downtown? Where is the center? And at the same time, we were beginning to see some development around the intersection of three major roads in our community: Highland Drive, 33rd South, and 13th East. That development was also occurring in an unplanned way, and we decided that we needed to put a plan to it to harness that development. We used the principles of Wasatch Choice 2050 in our efforts to try to create a center that is surrounded by residential and could be connected by transit to other nodes of density throughout the Salt Lake Valley. This is a picture behind me of this area. You can see Highland Drive, 13th East, and 33rd South, and the number of dots represent projects that are going in this area. This area is centered by an urban park that the city has already acquired. We will be having an ice ribbon on that, and this shows the phase one of that park, and then we also have plans to expand it up to a total of about 6 acres. The park will be lined with higher density residential, commercial, and office. And we hope that will provide a center for Mill Creek and a plan that's consistent with Wasatch Choice 2050, which will enable us to accommodate growth, but at the same time improving the quality of life for residents in Mill Creek by giving them a city center that they've lacked for so long. Thank you very much.
Hello, friends. I'm Dawn Ramsey, mayor of the city of South Jordan. Thank you for being part of this conference. South Jordan is also working hard to plan for the future, to prepare for the continued growth that we keep seeing, and to help maintain our quality of life. Our community is very different than Mill Creek, but using the Wasatch Choice priorities, we are working to come up with our own solutions that work best for our community. Many of you are probably aware of Daybreak. It's the largest master plan community in the state of Utah, and it's located entirely in South Jordan. Daybreak has become a model for a well-planned, walkable community. And as we see that happen, we see opportunities for economic development as well, for good transportation infrastructure, and recognize that if we get that right, it's going to enhance quality of life for all residents in South Jordan. Right now, we are working on a town center on the west end of our city along Mountain View Corridor. The far west side of our city does not yet have many job opportunities, and that's something that we're working hard on.
By being able to put a city center along Mountain View Corridor, being served by the Trax line, we will be able to cut down on traffic congestion flowing east and west in our city, as those on the far west side will not have to travel clear to I-15 to go north and south. All of these are important ways that we can come up with solutions. Growth is a factor for the state of Utah, and whether your community is growing quickly or whether it's established, and there's a variety of challenges that you are dealing with, the Wasatch Choice priorities can help you. I hope that you'll familiarize yourself with them and recognize ways that they can help you enhance and maintain quality of life for residents in your own city.
Thank you, mayors, for your vision and for your leadership. And we hope that all of you continue to enjoy the sessions on these important topics.
Okay, time to, well, you can keep it in your popcorn, I suppose, if you want, right? Thank you for that. So I just need to ask a question. Did that video play well for all of you? Could you, it was, okay, excellent. The problem on my end very well could be because I am powerless and using a hotspot for my phone to try to, anyway, it was dragging a lot on my end, and I hoped that wasn't what you were all seeing, because that was not great over here. And so I hope that this continues throughout this meeting. For those of you who have joined us since we opened, thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate having you here. All right, we're gonna cross our fingers that this connection stays strong enough. And if it doesn't, I'm sure somebody will take over and run the rest of the meeting and it'll go well. If you hadn't heard, my power's out. It went out just right before this meeting started. So we're unique in how we're going about this. Okay, next, we are on item 4 on the agenda. And we just want to let you know that last week really started off, it kicked off a round of implementation conversations around the region. And we're grateful for that. We think that that's critical and something that we need to continue to do all the time. Going forward, our Wasatch Front Regional Council staff and partners are going now to meet with local leaders around the region, and they'll hold workshops that are similar to the kind that they've held in the past. But the focus of these workshops won't just be developing the plan. We've got the plan. The plan has been approved, but the plan will mean nothing if it's not implemented. And so these workshops will be to initiate implementation and to discuss ways that these plans can be implemented in our various communities. Similar to what you saw, there's differences between Mill Creek and South Jordan. There's differences between every community, but this plan is a foundation that can be used in every community for the better. And so that will be the goal of these meetings going forward. Ted, I'm gonna have you walk us through the draft approach, if you will, on how you wanna go about getting our feedback on this.
Mayor, thanks so much. And I'll assume that everybody can hear me and see my screen as well. What we would love to get is any direction or advice from the Regional Growth Committee on two things: how to get great attendance to these important workshops and how to make them meaningful and a great use of the attendees' time. Now, a lot of you have been to Wasatch Choice workshops over the years. And they have tended to be similar in format. Right now you're looking at a map where you see colors of a small group of communities at a time. So take the very north, Brigham City, Perry, and Willard. And then just below that, you can see the group of communities in North Weber. So what we have done in the past is we've brought the leaders and key staff from those communities to have a conversation with WFRC, county leaders, partners, including the League of Cities and Towns, all of these people that have been coordinating in the Wasatch Choice 2050. Well, there's two, and when we're talking about the attendees at the local level, I think one of the things that makes these so unique is it's bringing together mayors, city councilors, planning commissioners, transportation, land use, and economic development key staff, and doing that with that group of communities. I really think that these are just about the only meetings that occur like this with that cross-section of people, whether it's focusing in on issues of shared concern across a group of communities. So that is still going to be the same as it has been. Mayor Ramsey mentioned that these are implementation focused, but it's also going to be Zoom based. And so that's going to be a consideration. But what we're going to try and do is pull out all the stops of making these really fun and interactive. So it's going to be Zoomtacular. Here is what we have in mind. And again, would welcome direction and advice from the Regional Growth Committee that let's talk about issues and opportunities in that area to advance shared transportation and housing goals, which are embodied in the Wasatch Choice 2050. So four major agenda items. Let's bring everybody up to speed. What is Wasatch Choice? How is your feedback as communities built into it? Talk about transportation and then housing and then look ahead. Now I'm going to unpack these briefly. So the Wasatch Choice vision, of course, we've talked about it quite a bit already. I think a key just thing to note is that it's a broad effort. It's not just a WFRC, and it's not just a WFRC and community-led effort. It's a lot of partners that have brought it together. But there's a key thing to note right up front, which is that it has some real weight. And that weight is that what communities have said you want to do and explore out to the longer term, you know, the next 30 years with land development became the foundation for the regional transportation plan. So UDOT and UTA and you as communities are implementing transportation projects that are based on those very growth assumptions. That's part of the reason why we need to have this conversation and check in with each other. How is implementation going? Before we get into that second agenda item that discussed transportation implementation, this is one of the hooks. One of the hooks to get people there is we're going to talk about COVID-related market data, transportation behavior shifts, use of open space that is specific to the area that we're talking about. This is data that has not been shared yet. We're pulling it together. So if you come, you can expect to see brand new data that is honed in to that area. And we want to have a conversation about what are you all experiencing on the land development, economic development, and transportation front when it comes to COVID-19 and where does that go from here? That's agenda item one. Agenda item two is with that foundation of Wasatch Choice, land and economic development, transportation, but it's the foundation of that transportation plan. Let's dig into it some. What are the key regional transportation projects that are anticipated? How are those gonna get funded? Get everybody up to speed a little bit on recent changes to the way the state of Utah funds transportation investments. And then let's have a conversation about what can we do together to advance these shared transportation projects that we all want to have make happen. What are the things that can be done regionally? What are the things that can be done locally? Are there some creative ideas? That's agenda item two. This is really where we're going to get great interaction between communities. Agenda item three is, Andrew talked about these twin challenges that we have of COVID-19 and growth. And we know that housing is a key thing that we're all facing. It's being talked about at the legislature. It's being talked about locally. It's a key issue. We have the hottest housing market in the United States. That's not hyperbole. Well, Senate Bill 34 that we're all familiar with that addresses housing, we're all familiar with, or most of us are familiar with the menu items. SB 34 says, hey, pick a handful of menu items to help meet housing needs. And that has a lot to do with how much housing, how much lower income housing, moderately priced housing. But SB 34 has, if you will, a B-side, the other side of the album. Remember, there was these old vinyl albums. That other side has a lot to do with where the housing occurs. It gets at things like, well, is your transportation plan locally? Is it tied to economic development? Is your housing plan tied to transportation, the locations of things? It also asks communities, how much are your plans dovetailed with the regional plan? If this sounds familiar, it should. This is the very purpose of Wasatch Choice 2050. This is great news for all of us that we can communicate to state legislators and others that are worried about, hey, are you working on housing and are you dovetailing your housing plans with transportation? We've all been working on that together with Wasatch Choice. But it does then emphasize again, well, let's take a look at how is that progressing? So we walk through what that Senate Bill 34's B-side, those sort of lesser known but really important things which have a lot to do with Wasatch Choice 2050 as a backdrop, and then we get into the questions of what's happening in that area. What are the issues and opportunities to dovetail housing with transportation and economic development? What are the destinations that are the easiest and hardest for residents of limited means to reach? Those kinds of discussion items. This is going to be data informed. So we'll have an analytics to share with the participants as well, but really want to get into that discussion. So there's item two, the transportation discussion. There's item three, the housing discussion. And then we dismount off the balance beam by looking ahead to next year. There's brand new implementation resources to help communities. That's our next, by the way, that's relating to our next agenda item in this meeting. And then talk about how we'd love to meet with individual communities, show data that's specific to communities, and talk about any needs, project ideas that you want to explore in updates to the transportation plan, all these kinds of things. And how do we deal with the uncertainty of COVID-19, but also disruptions that we're seeing to markets, the Amazonization of retail, the spread of Uber and Lyft, and all these kinds of things that are sort of changing the way we really ought to be doing planning both locally and regionally. So I'm gonna come up for air and then turn it back to Mayor Ramsey with two basic questions. Do you have some advice on helping get attendees to show up to these 2-hour meetings? They're Zoom-based meetings, one. And the second question, do you have advice or guidance in terms of making this a useful time for those attendees? Mayor Ramsey.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you. Okay, this really is open for any input. If you have recommendations, this really is going to be an important conversation, but it needs to be valuable. It needs to be something that people feel is worth their time, and it will be if we can get them to come. Any recommendations that any of you on the committee have, please. I'm going to try to keep scrolling between you, but feel free to just unmute and jump in. I mean, you can give me a wave, but since I can't see all of you at once, if you have something to share, if you have any recommendations on how might be the best way to get our friends and all of the other communities around us that are serving, that need to hear this information and be part of the discussion, part of the solutions for implementation, please. We would love to hear your ideas.
And while people are thinking about that, I'm going to pull up the schedule. These are the dates. That map that shows which communities meet and what day and time they meet has been emailed out to you. But the first one is on October 26th in Southern Weber, and then we move on from there. All told, there are 10 of these workshops. And I'll just say that we love these. Staff gets so much out of these because it's really first and foremost a chance for us to listen. What's happening in your area? What are your wants and needs? And listen to you all coordinate with each other about how can your plans and the implementation of your local plans help meet the needs that you have in your area.
Thank you.
So this is Joy. I have a quick question for you.
Mayor, yes.
I know you're talking about mainly the elected officials and our planning department, but what about the extension of like your planning commissions or other folks that aren't necessarily elected but have an input as well? I mean, how many people are you wanting as far as that goes? Explain how deep.
Thanks, Mayor Petro. We would love to have really all of the city councilors, all of the planning commissioners, plus the key staff, of course, mayors, and of course, city managers as well. We would love to have all of those people. And we have had a cross-section of those different voices at previous meetings, and it's just a terrific thing. So how does that sound to you, Mayor?
I like that because, I mean, the more you can invite, then the possibilities of someone not being able to make it, at least you still get a good showing or representation of what most people are thinking within your city. So I like that idea.
And Mayor, I will just add that the calendar invites have been sent out. So if you have somebody that did not receive a calendar invite that you would like to receive one, please just let me know. And that goes for everybody else as well. The invites for all of these have been sent. So if you did not receive one and you would like to attend, please let me know and I can add you to whichever meeting group that you'd like to attend.
And Mayor Petro, this is Andrew. I think it would be great for you and any of the other elected officials within your own community to directly encourage your city council or other county council members and planning commissioners to participate, because it really is this opportunity to bring the key stakeholders together from your own community to have this conversation. And we can talk until we're blue in the face, and sometimes do, about these issues. But it means more if you within your own community are saying, hey, this is important to our future, you should participate.
I appreciate you adding that, Andrew. I had a similar thought, I'm sure several of us did. And so I think I am going to send a personal email bringing everyone's attention to the invitation and to what it is, and asking them to be there if they can be, and letting them know that it will be of value. Everybody who from our city would be invited to participate. So I would encourage any of you to do that.
Here's another thought. Knowing that you guys have already sent out all the invitations, much like if we put it on our calendar, you know, we get a 15-minute warning. What if you guys maybe send out a thought like that, say like the week of that there's meetings scheduled, that you send out a reminder saying, hey, this Thursday, don't forget, we have our upcoming meeting. What are you guys calling this again? Sorry. Yeah, our upcoming workshop. And then the day of, maybe do one more so that it kind of emphasizes the importance of attendance as well.
I think that's a really good idea, to be honest. I mean, I feel bad admitting this, but I didn't realize that the calendar invites had gone out. And when Katie said that, I thought, oh, so I grabbed mine and I took a look and I thought, yep, it is on there. But I didn't realize. It was one of a thousand things that's come probably recently, and I didn't realize it had come. I didn't realize it was on my calendar. And so I think that's a really good idea to give maybe a little, hey, save the date or reminder kind of thing about it. And then if we each can follow up with our own organizations or our own people too, I think that will help in making sure people are aware of it. I think it is the kind of thing that people will attend if they really know about it in enough time, and we can help play a role in that. Very good point. Thank you.
Yes, and just to follow up on that, Mayor Ramsey, we will be sending out emails with some more in-depth about what the meetings are actually going to be about. We'll also be sending out reminder emails with some polling. So watch for a couple emails to come. They'll be coming from my email address. So if you get those, please forward them on. And yes, again, if you have anybody that would like to attend that did not receive it, the invite, let me know and I can definitely add them to the calendar invite.
Thank you.
Mayor, as I wrap up, I just want to also note that UDOT and UTA, League of Cities and Towns, it's really a terrific opportunity to collaborate among partners. So thanks for the opportunity to preview that agenda. Thanks.
Thank you. You know, I really do love the opportunity to get together with the other communities that live around me that live in our region and that work together with the partner agencies. I do. And even though this will be through Zoom, and I look very forward to seeing all of you in person someday, I think a lot can be accomplished through a workshop like this. So thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to move on to number five. We're going to talk about and give a little bit of input on the Wasatch Choice. We're calling it the Difficult Conversation Starter. So earlier this year, one of the things that we talked about, WFRC said, we want to be able to help you. Some of these conversations are hard. We know as elected officials that sometimes the conversations around growth are hard. They're difficult to have with residents. They're difficult. We have people who run for city and county councils or commissions every election cycle who run because they hate growth. They don't like growth and they don't want to see it. And so this is not always an easy conversation. We get that. We also, I think, on this committee understand what the realities of growth and how it can be planned well. And if it is planned well, it can not diminish our quality of life, but can even help enhance quality of life and certainly help maintain it. So one of the things that the Wasatch Choice partners have been working on is creating a new resource to help us as local leaders implement these difficult conversations, have these conversation starters. Penna Powers has been working on this, and we have Justin Smart here with us from Penna Powers. Justin, thank you for joining us. He's been working with the partners to put together a draft resource, and they'd like to get some of our feedback. So this will be a discussion after we hear from Justin. Justin, I'm going to turn the time over to you and have you share with us what you've come up with to help us with what can really sometimes be a difficult conversation.
Thank you, Mayor. And I think, you know, Ted has coined the term Zoomtastic, which I'm going to just hold on to and use over and over again. That'll be my goal, is to make this a Zoomtastic experience for all of you. So as you point out, growth is a pretty contentious topic. I actually live out in Erta in Tooele County, and Commissioner Thomas, I see on the group here, can attest to the fact that it's a pretty hot topic where I'm coming from right now, and I'm sure I'm not alone. And so this group is very well aware, the Wasatch Choice vision has come together over the past several years, and with a lot of work from a lot of individuals, a lot of communities. And part of the kind of the evolution of the toward implementation of the vision has been formation of some working groups. And I'm just one representative of one of the working groups that has been formed, the communications working group. And there's a number of individuals that represent a lot of different perspectives on the communication working group. And so I want to acknowledge that I'm here talking today, but there's a lot of people behind me that aren't here today that I'm trying to represent. And our two co-chairs on that working group are Eileen Barron, who is with UDOT, and Tom Carter, who's with the Utah Clean Air Partnership. Eileen had really done a lot of the heavy lifting in putting this presentation together that was given actually at the League conference, which we previewed just earlier in the agenda. And this is a little bit of a variation of that. And I'm going to see if I can successfully, in the name of being Zoomtastic, share my screen here. Hopefully I grabbed the right one. Let's see. Okay. Now I'm going to present this. And I'm going to note that I can't see the chat box while I'm in presentation mode. So if somebody chats something in, a question or a comment that we need to fold into the conversation, please give me a wave or maybe take yourself off mute and let me know. But want to just start here with the Wasatch Choice. And I don't need to give a bunch of introduction on this topic for certain with this group. But we know that this is the blueprint for maintaining and enhancing our quality of life moving forward along the Wasatch Front. As Andrew, you heard him say earlier in his recorded remarks that we listened to, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to solutions for growth across our communities. And that's true across our region, and it's true within individual communities. And that's where a lot of the rub lies, is that individual citizens, they have different ideas about what growth should look like and how growth should occur and what even quality of life means. And so part of the task that we were given as a communications working group was trying to help provide resources to have more effective conversations around growth. As elected officials, as leaders in this space, I'm confident that you've all had at least one conversation around growth or density or housing or transportation. And we were kind of tasked with coming up with a way to start and maybe make those conversations a little more productive. And so let me move forward here on my slides. Managing two screens can be fun. So I want to just note a couple of things about a resource that we have started. We have a draft. And this idea kind of came from a lot of discussion among these various perspectives on the communications working group, that maybe we should start with the questions or the statements that everybody hears a lot. So things like, well, higher density obviously means more traffic and it's just going to bring more crime to our community, or fill in the blank. You've all had those conversations. I can say there was a very similar conversation to one that you probably all experienced happening on Facebook last night out in IRTA. And a lot of the questions and statements that we've built into this document came up in that Facebook chat. And so we've started with these statements. And what we want to do is then build a store of facts, of high-level speaking points, and some other data points to these tough questions that might help you as you navigate some of these conversations with your folks. I wanna give you, let me see if I can stop presenting over here for a minute, just to give you an idea. I think you can still see my screen here. We had a dialogue with the folks at the League conference. And this is just a summary. I'm not going to read through all these bullet points, which I'm sure you'll be grateful about. But this is just a sampling of what we heard back from the folks on that particular session. Some tips that they provided, things like tell the positive story rather than allowing the narrative to spin toward the negative. Use empathetic words like, I hear you, that sounds difficult. This is especially important when emotions are high, and sometimes data doesn't help those conversations. We also heard a number of different themes on some of these topics: growth, housing, density, and transportation. Things like, resisting growth does not make it go away. This is something that I believe it was the Springdale mayor pointed out, that she has to remind people that, you know, just because we want to put our heads in the sand doesn't mean it's not going to still come. And so just these are some of the things that people have found either resonate or help move conversations along. And so as we as a working group go about our task of putting this resource together, we want to continue to draw on the amazing wisdom and knowledge that you all have. And so we appreciate as a working group the opportunity WFRC and this growth committee has given us to kind of run this scenario one more time with all of you and capitalize on the knowledge and experience that you have gained having these conversations with your own citizens. So let me see where I am in my notes here. So what we want to do is just have a bit of a facilitated dialogue here among this group today. The topics are going to be, and we'll move through them kind of in chunks: growth, and then housing and density, and then transportation. And what we'd like to hear from you is what are you hearing most? What comes up often? And share ideas with one another within this group. How are you speaking to these issues? What have you found that's successful in helping people understand? Maybe they're just dug in on something and you've helped them get off dead center. What did you do? What did you say? And then at the end of the dialogue, we'll just wrap up with a little conversation model that we hope will be helpful to you as you move forward in this contentious space. So let's see. The questions that will maybe you can kind of keep in the back of your mind as we move forward into these three topics: what worked? We'd also like to hear what really didn't. Like one person at the League conference said, density is a toxic word. We don't ever say it in our community. And they've come up with some things that work for them to replace it. And even that's not going to be a one size fits all. But you know, what hasn't worked? What would you do differently? And what suggestions do you have for you know, your fellow community leaders? So with that, we've got a few of our statements that we're working with. You know, if our community says no to growth, the impacts of that growth will disappear from our community. Or I don't want any more growth. If we don't plan for it, it's not going to come. It's kind of a head in the sand. But this is the point where I come up for air, as Ted said earlier in his presentation, and let the rest of you do some talking. And I have got a document pulled up that I'm going to take notes as you're all having a conversation. But this is where it's a little bit challenging with Zoom, but hopefully you'll just come off mute and start to speak up. And I'll do my best to capture what you have to say so that we can work with that moving forward.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate that. I'm going to look to, you know, see who's ready to speak. And I realize it is a lot easier to hang back when we're on Zoom than it is when we're in person. But this is feedback that we would really love, because this is something that we all have done or are doing in our communities, this conversations that we've had and things we've heard. I'll tell you, looking at this list right here, the one that comes to mind as the one that I hear the most often, and I think that this whole area of Salt Lake County where I live, until there's enough infrastructure in my area, we shouldn't have more growth here. That people feel pretty strong about that, and with good reason, you know, with good reason. But that is, I think, what I hear the most.
Kind of an infrastructure first.
Hey, Justin, this is Bob Dando at Roy City. We're facing this challenge even as we speak. We're about ready to solidify on a general, basically a plan in Roy that's going to introduce, we hope, a mixed-use development. Let me tell you, at least from a perspective, as we get closer to getting a vote, which in my opinion will revolutionize downtown Roy. The issue comes up and simply says this: I do believe that the council members are pretty intelligent people. But they also have to answer to the constituents in terms of how they vote and how they think. And one of the things that we're trying to do, we'll find evidence of this here shortly, is to, if they're going to take on a difficult decision, whatever that might be, and mixed-use development and high-density residential always seem to get people excited. One of the interesting things, Justin, is this, is that oftentimes what the council member needs in preparation to make the decision is Kevlar. If there is some factual base reality that drives the council to the obvious answer, then they can stand in front of their constituents and simply says, I chose to make this vote in this direction because it is, in fact, all the evidence and facts support this, rather than going up there and simply saying, well, this is my opinion. If we can provide some factual data, and I'll give you a good example. One of the components to the conversation we've already heard from the residents is this: you put a mixed-use development with residential component in the downtown area, you're going to increase traffic. And the fact of the matter is, I've looked over at least 7 or 8 studies across the nation where mixed-use developments have gone in. And almost in every case, the evidence supports it actually reduces traffic rather than compounds the traffic issues. And it gives good justifications why. So my part in terms of getting to the council is to get past the emotion of the issue about mixed-use development, high-density residential, and answer the question that simply says, so let's talk about traffic and what traffic is really about from the evidence that has been accomplished across the country in areas in which mixed-use developments have occurred. But here's my point, Justin, and I'm not sure what your data is looking at, but I'm asking you and I'm suggesting to you is, we need the Kevlar. We need the facts to get past the emotions. And that is not easy, but it surely puts a council member in a much better position if in fact we can talk about facts, about realities, and what evidence supporting, then rely upon all the emotion that takes place. And interesting enough, it's typically the minority. The majority of the people either don't care or would be supportive of it. But the minority of the individuals in the community have a tendency to be the ones most outspoken. And interesting enough, the council members oftentimes listens to the minority. So I suggest is help us with Kevlar. And I think we can get through some of these issues.
Thank you. A curious follow-on question to his point. Those of you who are having these conversations, you know, when you have data, when you have facts, where do you find it? Where does that come from? And what is well received from your constituents?
Yeah, this is Mayor Arvey. We get data from a few places, but we do get a lot of complaints about crime and potential crime. And we go to the police chief with that. And our data shows that there's no more of an issue in our high density housing than any place else in the city. But one thing that we have done that seems to have worked, and it might have to do with the quality of our developers and the people that are involved, is we've encouraged significant outreach into the community. And what we found is the people a lot of times have issues, but when they sit down and talk about to the developer and we bring in facts that if you have density, then there are benefits that come with that as well. Shopping is going to be better. It's going to be easier for us to get mass transit. And when the developer goes out and has significant outreach with the community, a lot of times they have to make concessions. But anyway, we found that we're able to get higher density into the community with not total support with the community, but enough support from the community that we can get things done. But it's important that the developers go out and meet with the community and try and sell it themselves, because it doesn't always work for anybody else to do it. You know, the city can't make concessions on behalf of the developer very easily. We try and encourage the developer and the community to meet to get something that will work.
Thank you, Mayor. So, you know, good data sources, sometimes the developer having a conversation directly with the residents, they can present their own facts, so to speak, their own data. Let's in the interest of time, let's talk a little bit about housing and density is the curse word in some communities that goes along with housing. What types of conversations, what kinds of wins have you had with conversations around housing? Just again, trying to leverage the experience and the knowledge of this group that we can build into this resource we're preparing. Any stories that you have? None. Nobody's talking about housing in your communities.
Hey, Justin, good to know. This is Justin. This is Commissioner Thomas out in Tooele.
Hello there.
The one thing the previous person spoke about, the minority dominating the conversation. As well, as you well know, Justin, from last night, and there's referendums on everything. Any kind of development takes place, and it's all around housing, so-called affordable housing. We're on the radar, and it doesn't matter. There is no compromise with this group that says, I want to leave it just the way I found it. I want my rural quality of life. And even though many of them got here within the last 5 years. And so that's a big challenge, is how you deal with this minority group and have them understand this housing that we're talking about is for your children and grandchildren. So that's a big narrative. It's really important is to help people understand the facts.
Thank you, Commissioner. Do others, have you had the experience of talking about kind of growth in terms of our own children, our own grandchildren? Does that make a difference for people? Do they, once they kind of get the idea that that's what our growth is and that we're planning for them, does that change the narrative?
Justin, this is Commissioner Scott up in Box Elder County. I would echo what Commissioner Thomas said. We're kind of a shoulder county. We're mostly rural, but then we're a little bit more towards Wasatch Front on the southern end of the county. And we hear that quite a bit. We don't want growth. We want our rural lifestyle. We like where we live. But as soon as their kids and their grandkids get to the point where they need homes, then all of a sudden the narrative changes and they want controlled growth just right there, maybe on the farmstead, and some zoning changes to allow for a couple of building lots there, but not down the road. And so it's tough. It's that NIMBYism. And, you know, it's really important to strike that proper balance.
So it's a great solution for individuals, but maybe not for the community. Is that what I'm hearing you say, Commissioner?
Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Sure, you're welcome to anything I got.
Justin, I would speak to that as well. In Morgan County, we have that same pushback that we want to keep the lifestyle we have. And I've been doing a lot of work on a development that's coming in that really changes the game for us as a budget. But we hear water, water, water all the time. And I am constantly reassuring people that the water is there, that they have the water for this project. This is where they're getting it. And then I have to go back a few months later and say the same thing again. But one of the things that I helped Commissioner Scott out with is my mother in Box Elder County, because she was very, very anti-growth. And I finally said, and yet you had 9 children. And it really took her back just a little bit in bringing that home that, well, where do you think your kids are living? Because it's not, you can have 2 kids and not contribute to growth because there are 2 of you. If they're not living in your home, that's growth. But it's a calm, just a slight suggestion, and how you present it really does make all of the difference in those conversations. You can't come back at them with the same attitude they're coming at you with, or it just ends right there and the conversation can't go on. And that's what I find over and over again in these conversations is you have to take the high road, or the conversation just will never progress to where there's mutual understanding of what you're dealing with on a budget, on transportation dollars, on any of the issues that we face for a budget. Most of the time, they just don't understand exactly what the underlying issues are.
So there's some capacity building or educational process that needs to take place to put a frame around some of these issues for folks. I like that. And the attitude, the point on coming to the conversation and not, you know, I'm not going to say sinking down, but taking the high road, the positive framing you put on that is great. Again, in the interest of time, any specifics? I mean, a lot of what's been shared has been universal, I would call it. And we're going to pour through all of these comments and stories and try to build those into the resource. But any specific comments on transportation? any unique difficulties or unique takeaways that you found in your conversations around transportation that we need to consider as we move ahead with this? And if not, that's okay. As Mayor Ramsey said, Zoom is an interesting animal to try to engage with. Let me just wrap up with one final thing here. So we presented this at the League conference, and we just want to offer it up here as well. I think we got a lot of positive feedback from folks that participated in that session, because this is, Eileen found this. I'm not sure whether it came from Eileen's brilliant mind or whether it's something that came out of her PhD pursuit. But this is a model that I think is very simple, easy to remember, and it's easy to implement. And I've got training in conflict resolution and mediation. And one of the kind of founding principles of that is this idea of moving from positions to interests. Like I don't want the growth would be a position. And the underlying interest might be, I'm really concerned about water, to the commissioner's point, or I'm very concerned about traffic, as was mentioned earlier. And when you can get to the interest, then you can use facts and data, as was also mentioned earlier, to kind of help people along. But this listen, learn, lead might be a helpful model. And it speaks to that take the high road, take the conversation in a better way, where, you know, listen is just get the person talking. Let them get it off their chest. Let them understand that you actually care about what they have to say. And as you're listening, you know, what might be motivating? What might be their underlying interest? And then you can move into learning. And that goes to framing the particular issue in a way that might be more productive. So back and forth, you know, did you understand that most of our growth is actually not people from California? I had an interesting interaction with a person up in the in Heber on a project I was working on, where I let them know that, and it was like a revelation. They're like, oh, where is it coming from? I said, well, do you have any grandkids that live nearby? They said, yeah, 15. I said, well, that's growth. And that's the majority of our growth in Utah. And so, you know, back and forth dialogue, asking some questions. And then of course, as leaders, you're elected to make tough decisions. This has been pointed out earlier. You know, share your understanding of the topic, what you heard from them. You know, what I hear from you is this. Here's what I understand about the situation we have to deal with. Here's some of our budgetary constraints. Here's some of the data. Now, what would you think if I sent you a PDF to read that has some background on this information or on this topic? And then I'm going to go and I'm going to have a conversation with our city engineer, and let's touch bases again in a week. So you've brought up maybe from a high emotion through some factual information to a next step. And that's just a little model that we wanted to leave with everybody. It'll probably be part of the resource that we prepare. And I just want to say thank you for being willing to share some stories and share some, this worked and this didn't. And we're still working at it in our community. I think it's going to be a long haul. But once we get this moved a little bit farther forward, we'll be in touch, and we'll figure out the best way to distribute it out to those that hopefully it'll be helpful to. Unless anybody has any questions or any more thoughts or stories they want to throw in, I think I'm concluded and I can pass the mic back to Mayor Ramsey.
Mayor?
Thank you, Justin. Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, just thank you so much. And I know that, Justin, this work is aimed principally at local government officials who are on the front lines, as you said, and having these conversations. But we have so many great people in this committee with us today. And I wonder if, Mayor Ramsey, we could just take a minute and put maybe Natalie Gochner and Ari Bruning on the spot The Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute and Envision Utah do a lot of communicating about growth issues. And I just wonder if they would each be willing to just take a minute and share their thoughts about most effective ways about communicating around growth issues. I mean, I know I'm putting them on the spot, but hopefully they'll jump in here.
Thanks, Andrew. Hi, Ari. Great to see everybody. I know most of you, and for those of you that don't know me, I lead the Gardner Policy Institute, and I serve as a UDOT Transportation Commissioner. So those are the reasons why I've jumped on the call. Nice to see you, Ben, and others. Listen, I have really, I want to compliment, you know, the discussion that I've heard. And Justin, what a great presentation. Honestly, that's some really good leadership on your part. The two things that come to my mind, I keep going back to the need for state leadership and coordination on these issues to not just leave locals out there alone. At the last Legislative Policy Summit, we presented to the legislature 5 growth axioms for the state. The first is that growth is Utah's constant companion. And it's sometimes easy if you either haven't been in elected office for a long time or haven't been working on these issues to think that all of a sudden growth is happening. But of course, it's been going on for my entire lifetime here in Utah. It's our constant companion. The second growth axiom is that net in-migration is Utah's new norm. And that is, I believe, has only gotten worse because of COVID. And you've used the term Zoomtastic, but it's also the Zoom town, right? And we won't have new net migration numbers until later in this calendar year, likely late November. But I'm expecting to see another big year for net in-migration to our state because of our relative economic success during COVID, and also because of the ability for people to work from home and seek high amenity areas. Third growth axiom is Utah's population is changing fast. And this is urbanizing, diversifying. So, you know, this is a time when it requires a lot of growth leadership. Fourth one is just that Utah's economic and demographic growth is unevenly distributed. Everyone doesn't experience it in the same way. And then the fifth one is Utah tracks the nation, but with a twist. We're becoming more like the nation, but we also continue to be different. And anyway, I just share those as kind of interesting tidbits. And from the communicating about growth perspective, I think it would be so terrific if a subset of this group had a really impactful meeting with whoever the new governor is, the new administration, and set off a really strong, state coordination, local responsibility kind of, kickoff. Because if you look at the housing data, I've been interested in hearing the conversation here, but if you look at the housing shortage in our state and you look at the challenges to getting new housing built, it's, you hate to use the word crisis, but it's close, right? And as affordability gets harder and harder, really difficult statewide challenge. I hope that's helpful, Andrew. Those are just some initial thoughts, but I really loved what Justin shared. Ari, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Natalie. I agree. What Justin shared was great. And I think in communicating about growth, the point about communicating that the majority of it is their own kids and grandkids has always been very effective. I think it's becoming a little less true than it used to. Natalie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's still a majority, but it's not as overwhelming a majority. But as what we've found, we surveyed employees in the Point of the Mountain area, and we found that even those who come from out of state have ties to Utah already. These are not random strangers coming to join us. These are our family and friends. And I think it's really, really important to communicate that to people. These are our own kids. These are our family and friends. And the reason that they're either staying in Utah or coming to Utah is it's a strong economy with good jobs and it's a high quality of life. And the only way I know to stop growth is to change those two things. And I don't think we want to do that. But at the same time, we've been growing for a long time, as Natalie points out, and we've done a pretty good job of accommodating it. And we can continue to do that and maintain a high quality of life. The other thing I'd say, I love what Justin said, and I think somebody else chimed in too, about listening and taking the high road and validating what people are saying. You know, these are emotional conversations and they have, you know, valid concerns and interests. You know, I worry about traffic too. I worry about the impact on my neighborhood too. And I think validating that before we start telling them all the reasons that they're wrong is very, very important. And then we can go on to explain the realities of growth and that this is the best way to accommodate it and accomplish the things that they want to accomplish. And we want to accomplish the same things. So those would be my main points, but growth will always be with us.
Natalie and Ari, thank you so much. And Mayor, I'll kick it back to you. I just want to note, Natalie mentioned working with the state, and Evan Curtis, the state planning coordinator, is on with us and has been such a terrific partner as we work through all of these issues. And I think there's a real opportunity for continuing to work, perhaps even enhancing that work with the state as we go forward. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. And I appreciate all the input that's been given. And Andrew, I appreciate you asking Natalie and Art for their input. I actually wrote a note during Justin's message at his presentation that said, ask Ari Bruni with Envision Utah and Natalie Buckner from the Kim Gardner Policy Institute if they have any input that we could get. So, and then you did. So thank you, Lee, for being here. The two of you really have more experience having these discussions and digging deeper into this than everyone else, than the rest of us. And so we appreciate that. And just to wrap this up, I'll go back to when Justin was saying, try to get to the heart of what it is that they are the most concerned about, not just their position, but what's driving that position. And we talk about water or air quality or transportation, all of those things. I think really the heart of what people are the most concerned about, whether they even realize it to articulate it this way or not, is quality of life. I think just all of those things are factors that contribute to quality of life. And so whichever element of that it is people are concerned about, I really do think that's where most of the concern is driven, is because people are just afraid it's going to ruin what they love about living here in Utah, why they live here, what they've always enjoyed, and they don't want to have that taken away. So none of us do. None of us do. And that's part of the message that we need to share, is that's what we're working to make sure it doesn't happen. Thank you, all of you, for input. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to move on to item 6 on our agenda. We have an action item here. It's the 2019-2015 Regional Transportation Plan Amendment Number 2. So as I mentioned earlier, we'll know that this is a living document, and as issues and opportunities emerge, occasionally it necessitates changes or making amendments. And we've done one of these before already. And so we have here with WRC's transportation specialist. That is what he is. He is an active transportation specialist. And he's going to talk to us about a few of the proposed changes, what makes them distinctive. And then you'll recall this is something that as of, was it earlier this year that the decision was made? I don't know. This year's kind of turned into a thing, right? I can't even keep straight when we decided, but I think it was earlier this year that we determined, maybe it was the end of last year, that we were the ones that would vote on making these amendments. And then we would inform the rest of the WFRC board at large, but that this decision for amendments is something that we would vote on here as a committee. So with that, Hugh, I'm going to turn the time over to you and have you present the thoughts on some amendments to the plan.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and appreciate that introduction. And you're right, there's been a change in the process that I'll go over briefly here just to remind everybody where we're at and introduce these requests today. So this is the second amendment, as you mentioned, to the 2019-2050 Regional Transportation Plan. And I'm really excited to be able to present it to you today because the first time amendments to the plan have been considered specifically for active transportation projects. There are three requests as part of this amendment, and there are full citywide active transportation plan updates, two of which stem from the great work of the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. Before we get to the individual amendment requests, I'll just give a brief overview of the recently approved changes to the amendment process. Following the presentation of the amendment requests, I'll happily take any questions anybody has, and we'll ask that the committee open up this item to public comment, ultimately ask for a motion to approve amendment number 2 to the regional transportation plan. If you're on the phone today, feel free to look at information in your packet under item 6 as we move forward. So again, as a review, WFRC in consultation with local communities, transportation partners, stakeholders, and the public along the Wasatch Front update the regional transportation plan every 4 years. The last plan was approved in May of 2019 with one subsequent amendment. And this plan is multimodal, including active transportation, transit, and roadways. So periodic adjustments are needed during the planning cycle due to funding availability, local or state needs, changes to land use, and in this case, updates to local active transportation plans. So the amendment process has been modified to be more streamlined, but also maintain the rigor of the planning process. So please note there are 3 different categories of amendments based on their level of significance, and each level has a slightly different process. Today's requests are all level 2 amendments requiring your approval, which is followed by review and recommendation from the RGC Technical Advisory Committees. As shown on this slide, full citywide active transportation plans are classified as level 2 amendments. Again, this ability to amend active transportation in the RTP is new to our process and speaks to the evolution of active transportation planning and funding in recent years. We anticipate additional citywide active transportation requests in the near future as many cities are underway or just wrapping up their planning processes. The first request comes from the City of North Salt Lake. Shown here on the map in yellow are the new projects with existing RTP projects shown in blue. And the North Salt Lake's recently adopted active transportation plan was facilitated through the TLC program and identifies new active transportation facilities, updates existing bicycle facilities to higher comfort, identifies intersections requiring safer crossings, and improves connections to existing and planned regional trails. There are 21 total projects estimated to cost $70 million that will be added to the regional active transportation map and project list, including 3 intersection projects and 18 linear projects. These facilities are found throughout phases 1, 2, and 3 of the plan. The second request from Salt Lake City is an amendment to add new bicycle facilities to RTP as well, and deriving from several Salt Lake City plans, including the Pedestrian and Bicycle Master Plan, Downtown Plan, and Foothills Trails System Master Plan, this request supports bicycling and walking for all ages and abilities, and making first last mile connections that complement transit. There are 61 total projects estimated to cost $122 million, including 17 intersection projects and 44 linear projects to be added to the active transportation map and project list. And these facilities are also found throughout phases 1, 2, and 3 of the RTP. The third request as part of this amendment is from the City of South Jordan. Mayor, is an amendment that will include the facilities within the city's recently completed active transportation plan that was also facilitated through the TLC program. This plan identifies new active transportation facilities, updates existing bicycle facilities to higher comfort, and improves connections to existing and planned regional trails. This is a request for 3 linear projects estimated to cost about $5.7 million to be added to the regional active transportation map and project list. And these facilities are found in phases 1 and 3 of the regional transportation plan. Please note that the Regional Growth Committee Technical Advisory Committees did review and recommend approval of this amendment without any changes. And Mayor, that concludes presentation for this request. Happy to take any questions. And again, ask that the committee open this up to public comment before requesting a motion to approve amendment number 2 to the 2019-2050 Regional Transportation Plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. Appreciate that. Okay, I will open it up for any questions right now so that they can be asked and then answered before public comments. So any members of the public who may wish to speak to this or be wondering about this can hear the answers to those questions before we open it up. Does anyone have any questions on this for Hugh? I'm not seeing any. Let's see, we have in the, I'm just looking at the chat as well. Okay, All right, not seeing any questions, I am going to open this proposed amendment number 2 to the regional transportation plan to public comment. If there are any members of the public here that would like to speak to the committee on this, the time will be yours and you may have 3 minutes to address this with the committee. Please either give me a wave or let us know in the chat.
Mayor, it sounded like your phone exploded when you were talking last. I think that's why you were put on mute.
Okay, interesting. Perhaps it's because the power just fell back on my house right now. So,
all sorts of things are beeping around here right now.
Better.
It's returned to normal.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm not seeing anyone who wants to speak during this public comment portion. This is last call. If there's anyone who'd like to speak to this.
Mayor, I don't so much have a public comment other than to just note that it's exciting to see such progress being made in our region on active transportation. It's really important. And these are the details that get it done.
That's great. Thank you. That should have woke everyone up. I don't know what you heard. I didn't hear anything on this end. My phone didn't make any noise, but sorry if you have ear damage or something now as a result of whatever's happening in my world and with power and connections. Okay, we are closing the public comment portion of this and we are going to just open this up. I am prepared to accept a motion, if there is one, to approve this amendment number 2 to the regional transportation plan. Is there a motion?
This is Commissioner
Scott. I'll make
a motion. I second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Mayor Petro and a second by Commissioner Scott. Any additional discussion to this? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving amendment number 2 to the regional transportation plan for 2019 through 2050, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That amendment is approved. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So just as a final follow-up to this, for informational purposes, I think it just should be shared that Natalie had such a really good idea that we need to try to work closely with the state to try to get maybe a little more help, a little bit more input from state leadership on trying to help inform people about growth and about issues, but also wanted to let you know that we have not had an opportunity ever to visit with Professor Peterson about this, but last year, Lieutenant Governor Cox asked Andrew Gruber and I to come and really kind of walk through this Wasatch Choice Plan and want you to know that he has endorsed it and intends, if he does become the next governor, intends to use this as the plan, right? As what his focus will be. So just wanted to share that. And I'm sure that if Professor Peterson is the one who we see as our next, we'll have the opportunity to sit down and visit with him as well. So, all right, moving on. Our next regional growth committee meeting is not until January of 2021. That holds progress in our world between then. So we'll see. We will send a confirmed date and more information as it gets closer and as we see what things look like. At this point, we don't know if it will be through Zoom or if it will be in person. That'll kind of be decided as it gets closer. Anyway, we will look forward to meeting together in January. Unless anyone has anything else, I'm prepared to accept a motion to adjourn with my gratitude to all of you for being here and for participating in this important work.
Chair, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. We have a motion by Commissioner Cannon. Is there a second?
This is Joy. I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.